Selling a little? Cha-ching. Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the final real-life store stage, all the way down to did we just hit $1 million? Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS systems, whatever and wherever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout at 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/human2. That's all lowercase. You're going to go to shopify.com/human2 now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/human2. Okay, well, welcome to this week's episode of I Think I'm Human Too. We are in Sweden, and if you're watching and or listening, you're going to hear another voice. His name is Eric. Fun fact, we are actually blood related. A lot of people don't believe that.
You couldn't tell by just looking at us.
Yeah. Well, we can't tell what you are. We're just looking at you. You're white, you're Italian, you're Hispanic.
I'm everything.
You're black.
Whatever you need me to be.
But. You're all the above. Mm-hmm. So Eric is actually my dad's nephew. So our dads are brothers.
Yeah, Billy Boy and Johnny.
Yep, full blood brothers. And Eric has lost his mom. So we are in Sweden together. So I kind of want to give a little bit of a backstory. We're here because actually we're filming on Tuesday. This is a year from the day that we buried my father. And wow. Last year, you know, crazy, right? Yeah. Years fly. Last year, right after the funeral, we all went out to Max Diner to get some espresso martinis. And I just said, Thanksgiving is no longer for me. It just doesn't matter to me. It's too much and too heavy of a week. And so I said, for my future, I will not celebrate it. And Raphael and I will take that week to do whatever.
Yeah.
Celebrate however we choose. And we love to travel. And taking a week off, it's kind of easy during Thanksgiving week because a lot of people have the Thursday, Friday off anyways. So we're like, this will be like our one actual vacation every year where we take the full week. He takes the full week off, blah, blah, blah. And then it transpired into a family trip. So here we are.
Yeah, well, we were a family then and we got to keep the family going.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's funny here because this is going to be coming out on Black Friday back home. And when we got to Sweden, they call it Black Week.
Black Week. No Black Friday. All the signs say
Black Week. Yeah. Because I'm sure they don't celebrate, like Black Friday is not really a thing, but I'm sure like the brands are like, let's get it on the deals.
Yeah, so they we'll don't just celebrate Thanksgiving either.
Yeah.
Considering there's no pumpkin pie here.
Well, considering they didn't steal land and need a national holiday for it.
True.
But okay, so today's episode, I really want to talk about dealing with grief through the holidays, because I feel like the holidays are the toughest time, whether you lost someone around the holidays and or you lost someone in general. Like the holidays are the one place where you do get together with your family, you celebrate, you, I don't know, your dad wakes you up on Christmas morning, whatever the hell your traditions are. When you lose a piece of your pie, it is very heavy. But both of us have lost someone. And not only just somebody, but we lost a parent right before the holidays. So in general, not only are you mourning them on the holiday because you're just mourning them, but also you're going through the traumatic anniversary of death. So I wanted to have Eric talk a little bit of what he went through and your storyline.
Yeah. So right after Thanksgiving, my mom went into the hospital with like a heart condition and stuff like that. And she was there for 3 weeks. She passed away, unfortunately, and, she passed away on December 23rd. So that was obviously Christmas Eve is the next day.
Yeah.
So that was very hard for the family.
I remember just going into the hospital thinking, We didn't think anything. We were like, something's like, we didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't even know ourselves because she never went to the doctor, obviously. I mean, she wasn't that kind of person to go get checked up often.
What was kind of her storyline? So she just wasn't feeling well and went into the hospital, or she went into the doctor?
So a year previous, she was having a hard time breathing. So she went to the hospital and they told her that she was having heart problems and she needed to stop smoking and eat healthier and stuff like that. Yada, yada, yada.
Smoking cigarettes?
Yeah, she was a big smoker. So
I don't remember that about her, but
well, that's good.
I don't remember that. That's interesting.
After that she quit. So she quit immediately after she got out of the hospital that first time, which is good. But she had done too much damage to herself in her life that it just didn't matter anymore. So eventually her body just kind of wasn't in the fight anymore.
And then, okay, so when did she originally go in? 3 weeks before she passed, right?
3 weeks before she passed, she went in.
And I remember them saying she was like on an up, right? And then she moved into a care facility for a little bit?
Yeah, so eventually she got into, they put her in a medically induced coma for the first like 2 weeks. Then she got better and came out of it. And then after that, she went and spent 4 days in an aftercare place, like where they could watch over her, give her medicines and stuff like that. That place didn't do a good job. That's a very big factor into why she passed.
Really?
Yeah, they, blood thinners. I mean, you'd have to talk to Ryan, but they gave her blood thinners.
And they weren't supposed to.
And I don't think they were supposed to. Yeah, because that's eventually, like, she just bled out her organs.
Why did I not know this?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like I really talk about it.
I would have been the first person to be like, lawsuit!
I know, trust me, we thought about it. We pondered. So eventually the doctor, like, brought her into surgery, came out and said that all of her organs were dead and the only thing keeping her alive was the machines.
Damn.
So it wasn't really like we had to make a decision. The decision was already made for us, but we obviously started calling the family so you guys could come say your goodbyes and stuff.
I don't really remember. I very, very vaguely remember. I don't think I went in there.
No. I mean, you came a couple of times.
I came a couple of times to visit the hospital, but I don't really remember going in. I remember seeing her from a side view, but I wasn't like, I'm not very good with that kind of stuff. So I was just like, skirt, skirt. Okay. So then December 23rd is when you guys decided.
So December 22nd, they told us. And then so we pulled the plug or whatever. And so she passed away at 3:35 in the morning on December 23rd.
Okay. So I'm actually just learning some of this information, or maybe I knew and I just didn't retain at that age. So I never knew that you guys did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like a whole different topic. How was that like mentally for you guys to sit there and be like, okay, today's the day. Like you guys get to determine someone else's life almost.
Right.
Sorry. I know that's
no, it's fine.
I'm sorry.
Mentally, I feel like it was easy because we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like, what are you going to sit there and let her be on this machines?
Yeah.
You know? And she's never coming back. So it was easy to like make that decision. It was not easy to sit there and watch her take her last breaths. And
you guys
like,
were in there.
Yeah, me, Ryan, and my cousins from my mom's side were there. So
was your dad there?
No, dad went home. Dad said he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to watch. He didn't.
I don't think I could either, honestly.
Yeah, no, he left. So me and Ryan.
Why did I not know this? I'm about to cry. My whole body has the chills. I did not. I'm sorry.
It's hard. It's not hard.
I'm sorry.
But it's hard to think about again. We had to tell them, okay, we said, well, pull the plug. We called family. People came. People didn't. And then eventually they're like, it's going to take a while. Like, it's not just going to be like that for her to go. Like, she's going to fight it and stuff like that. So, it's 3:35 in the morning when those buzzers finally went off and it was over with.
I'm so sorry I brought that up. But no, I'm at the same time, I'm also really happy because of the fact that, one, I didn't know that. And two, you're not the only soul out there that's had to do that. I'm sure that is a very traumatizing. I literally just thought she just went by herself. And you guys were like, she's gone. I remember the text message I got. I remember that. I got it in a text. Damn, dude.
Yeah. So it's like we knew early in the day that it was going to happen. So I left and went to the bar. Like I went to the bar and started drinking like early in the morning, afternoon, and then eventually went back and we did it. And I mean, watching your parent die, as you know, is very difficult. That's very hard. And that sticks with you for the rest of your life. And like just that her body was cold.
Yeah.
Like her touch wasn't warm anymore. And then just seeing her like gray, and the thing that really still messes with me and it messes with my brother too is like the gasping.
That was mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she was, her body was trying to fight her, mm-hmm. but like she didn't.
You almost feel like a guilt of like, they're still in there.
Yeah.
That was when, okay, so Eric was actually with us on the trip that we lost my dad, and you were close with my dad too. Like everybody, like I say this all the time, you can't hate Bill. Bill is a soul that like, is just, he like forces you to love him.
He's a very sweet man.
But okay, so how did you maneuver? Like, how do you deal with that? Because two deaths in one, like that's like an uncle. I can't imagine.
I mean,
and a parent on top of it. I thought parent alone was bad.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy with Bill either because Bill was so accepting and like loving, and like there was many times I went over to your house and hung out with Bill himself.
When yeah,
you guys weren't even there.
Yeah,
you know, like he was always. I could come over to the house whenever I wanted, 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. Bill didn't care, so that was great.
His ass would get up just to
talk. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh my God, somebody's here.
You know, he wanted to talk. You know, he loved to talk. And he'd always say, oh, my nephew's here. So that's, it was nice.
Really sorry.
It's hard for me to watch you because I know what you're going through. And you were there for me so much when I was going through it. Like, not even trying. You were just there. You called me. You texted me. You showed up for me in ways that I didn't know I needed. And so it's like, I want to do that for you.
See, what's funny is
hard.
When dad first passed, my initial thought was right away, like even that morning. Okay, so like the whole morning of, you were the only person in the house. So like it all went down and he like got taken away on the ambulance, and I came downstairs to you and I was like, is he gone? Because the ambulance can't tell you if they're dead.
They wouldn't, yeah.
They can't, they're not allowed to determine time of death. Like it has to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, Eric, like, is he gone? And he was like, we got to get to the hospital. Like, just prepare yourself. And in that moment, I was like, I felt guilt of like, I'm so sorry that I didn't know what the trauma felt like and like the heaviness felt like, because I'd just never been through it.
Yeah.
And now I know how to show up for people in those moments, because it's like, it's, you don't know what you need. You just need to breathe. You just need to like, you're in survival, you're in fight or flight, and you're just breathing. And people are like, what can I do? There's no answer to that. Like, mm-mm. Either do something or do nothing, but like, just don't ask. Like, don't talk to me right now. Don't ask me.
I don't think you even know what you need.
Like, yeah,
I
exactly.
I didn't know what I needed. You don't
exactly.
know what you needed, you know? It was our first time going through it. That was your first time dealing with a death like that. That was my first time
dealing
with a death like that.
So crazy. I'm so sorry. I'm literally like starstruck right now. Not even starstruck, but I'm like stunned because I did not know that that's like the trajectory of how it all went down.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then I did the most stereotypical thing that people do after a death like that. And I turned to drugs and alcohol for like the next 4 years.
Yeah.
After that.
You definitely were going through it. And again, I couldn't relate to it. And I couldn't help you through that. I was just like, oh, Eric's just going through something right now. Because in my mind, and that's something like when you lose somebody. Selling a little, cha-ching, or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the final real life store stage, all the way down to did we just hit $1 million? Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS systems, whatever and wherever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout at 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/human2. That's all lowercase. You're going to go to shopify.com/human2 now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/human2. I got a comment in one of my it was a DM, and someone was like, and they were being nice. It wasn't like they were being mean, but they were like, it's so happy to see that you've moved on.
Mm.
And to me, that like stabbed me in my chest, because I was like, moved on. Like, you do move forward. I think forward is the better word. And again, they meant no ill will, but it was a hard thing to hear. But then looking back, I'm like, yeah, you were pretty rough for quite a while. And to me, I didn't even relate the two because I was like, that's so long ago. Like, you know, but going through it now, I'm like, even just at a year, it still feels so fresh. And I'm just like, how has it even been a year? To think of like 10 years down the line, I'm like, how are people still doing it? So
it's easier. It'll be 8 years next month.
That's crazy.
It does get easier.
It does get easier.
It's the one thing you don't want to hear at the moment is that time heals all wounds. This will get easier. Things like that. I didn't want to hear it at the time. And it's the truth. At the end of the day, time heals all wounds. And
life keeps going.
No matter what. And that was another really tough thing is my life, my world was just shattered. And everyone else's worlds are just continuing on.
Like, yeah. It's nothing. So going to the grocery.
Yeah. Like you felt that, you know, like you were just so down on life at that moment, but everyone else around you was like, they have to continue on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is true. And exactly like what you said, I don't think time necessarily heals it. I definitely think it's a hole in your heart for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like a scar. Like you're always going to have a scar there, but it does heal up. It's no longer bleeding. It's no longer, you can flick it. You can scratch it. It'll like be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I feel like I'm kind of in the scab phase. I mean, I know eventually we'll get to a scar, but it is a lot. It's hard. And again, especially through the holidays, because in general, that's the time that you see your family or you go home to see mom and dad. And when mom and dad's not there, like it's a whole new world. Okay. So what was your next few days? Because you had just said the next day you literally had to get back on because you're an uncle.
Yeah. So, me and my brother the next day, cause it was the 23rd. So the next day was Christmas Eve. So the next day we had to go pick up his two oldest kids and tell them that their grandma had passed away. And then the next day we have to celebrate Christmas. Like we have to put on a brave face for the kids so that Christmas isn't ruined for them like it is for us.
Yeah.
Just like Thanksgiving is for you.
Yeah.
So that was really difficult. Like,
okay, sorry, because now I'm just nosy. How does that go with a kid? Because obviously I didn't have any children to tell.
Right.
How did the kids take it?
So we picked them up and we just took them to a parking lot and... We just took him to a parking lot and like we turned around and we just told him that grandma's gone.
In the car?
Yeah. We just told him and then we all kind of got out of the car and just like hugged and just, they were bawling obviously. Like Kylie was 7, Cameron was like 10.
Yeah.
So like, and I couldn't even like keep a brave face. I was bawling
immediately. Did he have to tell them or did you get it out?
We tried to tell him together, but I think he did it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was his kids.
God, I can't imagine.
So it's like our worlds are shattered at that moment, and now we're shattering their world that their grandma is gone.
Yeah.
And now here's Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Here's your presents.
Stop, that's not funny. That's funny, though. That's fucked up. I can't imagine, though, because exactly like what you said, your world is just shattering. And then also when you look at two little faces that like you love so dearly, that's just natural instinct. Whether they're children or adults, you want to protect your loved ones.
Yeah.
To sit there and have to share with them something along those lines, I can't imagine. That's
unfortunately for the kids, they were there the day she left for the hospital because the ambulance came. So the kids saw her go into an ambulance. So they knew
something
was wrong. But this entire time, my brother was telling them, grandma's going to be okay. She's just giving them updates, but not telling them really what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no idea. They thought she was okay up until that moment, or she was going to be okay until that moment that we told them that.
I mean, everyone kind of thought that too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just happened so quick.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 days, she was fine, awake, talking. The next day, you know, 4 days later, you get a call that she's back.
Did you guys have good conversations during that time that she was awake?
It's my biggest regret in my life, as I was obviously sitting there praying to God to give me my mom back. And then he gave her back to me for 4 days, and I wasted those 4 days thinking she's going to be okay. I didn't talk to her. I drove her to the place from the hospital to the aftercare place. She wanted McDonald's, and
cutie.
I said, Mom, I'm not giving you McDonald's. You just got out of the hospital. Da, da, da. So our last conversation was us arguing.
Over McDonald's.
I was yelling at each other because I wouldn't bring her to get McDonald's.
Oh, we're going to eat McDonald's everywhere we fucking go, Mary, okay?
Especially in Europe. We're eating it.
Right. Damn, I did not know that.
So I didn't see her. I didn't talk to her because I thought my mom was back and I can go back to living my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 23 years old. So it's like, yeah, you were young. Just wanted to get back to my life.
Damn, 23. How old was she?
She was 54.
That shit's crazy to me.
She would have been 61 this year.
She was my dad's age?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. How do you feel with, like, Okay, so you've had quite a long time to process.
Yeah.
And you've done very well. I think that's something that I admire you for in general, like life in general, not just through grief, is you're a very mellow person when it comes to anything and everything. Like, you can get smacked in the face, punched, uppercutted, kicked in the balls, umbrella up your butthole, and you would still be like, it's such a nice day out.
You know what? Look
at you really are. You really are. How did you get through kind of that stuff, especially the regretful stage? Because I feel like I can't speak to that, because a lot of my relationship with my dad, I actually have no regrets.
Right.
And I feel very thankful for that. But I again, can't speak to people out there that do have that. How do you move through that and not let it eat you alive?
So once I got clean from the drugs and alcohol, I started going to therapy. Therapy helps people, okay? Therapy is a very big reason of why I've made it through. Because I didn't talk about it. You know, I spent the 4 years just not talking about it, not dealing with it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I went to therapy and I started being able to open up about my life and what I experienced like through that. And so therapy really gave me a release, because I started having anxiety and panic attacks, because I've never had that. Like, I've never had anxiety in my life until a few years ago. And then I started going to therapy, and that really just helped me release whatever was inside of me that I needed to get out, because I haven't had anxiety or panic attacks ever since I went to therapy.
How did you know it was anxiety?
Because I never experienced it before. I mean, how do I know? I guess I don't know, but like, I was...
What did it feel like?
Anxious. Like, something was wrong. Something was around the corner. Like, I just constantly felt like something...
Heavy-chested.
Yeah, something bad. So I guess I'm not... And I've never experienced that before, so I knew something was wrong. So maybe it wasn't anxiety, maybe it wasn't...
No. Panic, and it probably was. I'm just asking, like, how you, to someone out there listening, like, how do you know what it is? Or how do you, because a lot of people, especially men, stereotypically, they're just like, oh, I'm sick, or it is what it is. Right. Like, it's not a mental health issue. It's more of like a physical. And you knew right away, it was like something is off.
Yeah. I felt like something in my brain, because I guess it's hard to explain.
No, I get it.
I felt, but.
You just knew your body wasn't
right. I knew something was wrong. Okay. I knew I had to go start talking about it instead of not dealing with it.
Yeah. So my youngest brother, I think that was a lot of what his battle was originally. Remember, he was going through a lot of things, and I think it was anxiety attacks, and he went through every bodily test out there, bodily function test, brain, heart, blood, everything under the sun. And they were just like, I think it's your body denying its grief. So I went into the hospital with my little brother, because an EBS trait that we have is, not all, but some, they mask their symptoms because they don't want to be sick. They don't want to be on a medication. They don't want to be admitted to a hospital. They just want to keep going. And my youngest brother kind of had that. And granted, I was proud of him for going into a hospital and like saying something's wrong. But then when all the tests were coming back, the doctor looked at him dead in his face, and he was like, hearing about everything that's going on, because obviously we relayed, hey, like, our dad just passed from a heart condition. So like, what he's experiencing right now, is it heart related? Like, what's going on? And the doctor looked at him dead in his face and was like, I think your body is denying its grief, and or your brain is denying its grief, and your body is paying for it. And I genuinely now believe that he was having anxiety attacks, and it was just, he did not know what it felt like. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows. I mean, even still to this day, like, I sometimes don't know what it feels like. And I'm like, is this an anxiety attack? And like, what is happening? What was your path to get into a therapist? You just called up and you were like, today's the day I got to figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, I had friends. I had a friend that went to therapy, so I started talking to her about it, and she referred me to this guy. So I knew I wanted to get into it, so I went and just called him up or email, whatever I did to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
And he got me in, and he really helped me. He gave me a couple of different like things of how to get off the bus of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, like, just get off, like, not just get off, but. He really gave me some like tools to help me mentally.
I love that. I'm proud of you for that. I still have yet to. Yeah. At the beginning of this year, I was like, when I quit my job, I'm like, I'm getting into therapy. But I was just like, I feel like, did they make you walk through?
So my first session was basically just they
get to know me.
That was it. And then eventually it's like, it was up to me to open up about what I was going through. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have just sat there and talked about nothing, you know? So it was up to me to have to open up and talk to him about what I was going through and what happened.
You also knew you needed it. A lot of people go just because they're told to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my biggest thing right now is I need like a PTSD therapist on top of it. And I don't want to have to sit and relive the moment. And I think that's why I'm in avoidance. Mm-hmm. Did they make you go through that?
I think it's definitely a trait that we are so stubborn that we won't go do the things that we need to necessarily unless it's drastic measures and we have to do it.
You're forced.
Yeah, pretty much. So it had gotten to that point too where I'm like, okay, I have to force myself to do this instead of fighting it. Because I obviously had been fighting it for a long time to go talk about it.
4 years is a long time.
Yeah. I mean.
It goes quick, especially after grief. We just said that, like, time flies. But I feel like it flies even faster after a death. I don't know why.
I can't believe it's going to be 8 years.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
That's crazy.
I can't believe it's just been a year for Bill. Like, that's.
I know.
Time does fly. Time does not stop when we're grieving.
So I want to talk about holidays because obviously like we're hitting holiday season and in general, again, holidays are hard for a lot of people, but especially the ones grieving. You shut off Christmas and you still to this day are like, I don't celebrate Christmas, but you still go to like, what does Christmas look like for you?
I got sisters and I got nieces and nephews, so I can't be selfish about that and be like, well, I'm leaving. I mean, I did for a couple of years. I went to Vegas. I did other things during Christmas. I tried to get you to come with, but you wouldn't come that 1 year.
Especially during those years. Fuck no. Vegas would not have been fun for me.
No, we wouldn't have made it out alive.
I would have.
That's for sure. Okay.
I would have. Well, all right, whatever. I would have been bored as hell. I'd be like sitting in the hotel room like this motherfucker.
Oh, whatever. You would have been next to me drinking while I'm gambling.
True, actually. True. Those were my drinking days. It's fine.
So now Christmas, I try to put forth an effort for like the family and like be there. But in the beginning, I was like, I'm leaving. I don't just like you want to do for Thanksgiving. I was like, I don't want to deal with family and I don't want to see people. I just want to go be alone kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but you also, again, remain very positive during the holidays and like exactly like what you just said, give me the breakdown of where your brain went from fuck this, I'm leaving to, okay, I can't be selfish. Where was that? Like, tell me how you built that bridge to get there.
I guess I would say I got to that point by understanding that it wasn't about me anymore. Mom was very good at making things about her. And so I didn't want to be making things about me in that time because everyone already knows I'm grieving and going through it. I don't need to like be away from it. I don't know.
No. And that's where nothing that you say is a wrong answer. But it's funny because last week's episode I did with my mom and I talked about the first year of grief. And it's funny because exactly what you just said is something that I said in there. Something that I think we've learned along the lines, your whole life you live for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're very selfish and life doesn't mean anything to you.
Yeah.
You're very like, I don't fucking care. Like whatever happens to me, let's drink, let's smoke, let's do whatever. Like fuck our bodies, fuck our families. You don't care. And then as soon as you lose somebody, you learn the meaning to life and it sucks. I think it's the shittiest wake up call all of us have to go through. Some of us are 50 years old and you learn that. I mean, my dad, I don't really think he even understood it. I mean, who did he really lose other than his dad? But he lost him at 8 years old.
Yeah,
like
too young to like really
to
understand.
Grasp like what life really meant.
Yeah.
And I was saying in last week's episode of like, then as soon as you lose your mom and like when your mental comes out of the hate for the world, mm-hmm. you go into how can I live for her? And you come from selfish to selfless. And that's when you really start living. And I wish we were taught that as children of like, this life is not about us. It's not about your education. It's not about what you can bring to the table. Well, it is about what you, how you show up to the table. It's not necessarily what you provide at the table monetarily or food or whatever. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's crazy that you just said that because it's exactly what I've felt and what I've said. And it's crazy to even think that like that articulates and shows in multiple realms. It's not just every day to day. Like that's for the holidays. Like you had to get out of that mindset of like, it's not about me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I need to be the person that my mom was. I need to show. And that's kind of how I've been feeling of like, dad was very giving, very loving, very, I won't say accepting of everybody, but he was just like, you could tell him anything and he was a shoulder for people.
Absolutely.
Even if he didn't agree with you, he would still listen to you and he was respectful and he would try to understand.
Yeah.
And that changed my life when I was like, when I lost him, I started to really realize how precious time is and that's not about us anymore. And I love that you hit on that. I know that it was kind of like a harder question. I didn't mean for it to be, but it is one of those where it's like, you just got to shut up and realize it's not about us anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I spent 4 years being about me and not being home and being away from people and shutting people out. So it's like, I was also ready. I wasn't ready to open up and be with family for a long time until I was ready. So you're not ready until you're ready.
Yeah. And that's okay.
You don't know when you're going to be ready. So it also definitely a flip of like, I miss my family. I miss spending time with the people I love and the people that love me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, so I wanted to also start creating relationships like with your brothers. Like I didn't ever see Aaron and Andrew very often. Now I see them more than I ever did in those years, you know? So it's like, I want to also leave a presence behind in your guys' lives, you know, because someday I'm going to be gone. Someday you're going to be gone. So it's like, I don't want you to think of me as like, he was never around.
Who's
like,
Eric?
Yeah. Like, so I want to be present in my family's lives too.
Yeah.
Family is the most important thing in the world. And you really feel that after a death.
So that was kind of what woke you up out of that 4 year
trance.
It was the family. And, just kind of missing people.
And I knew I didn't like myself anymore either. So it's like, I wanted to be better. I wanted to be better for mom, for my dad, for my brothers and my sisters, for you guys. You know, it's like, I was done being selfish and I needed to be a man now. Like, I was 23. I was still a boy. I was still just a baby.
Yeah.
And like going through something like that, it's crazy at that age.
Not to give an excuse, but you're also the youngest.
Yeah.
So right there, naturally, you just have the selfish tendencies because you don't have anyone relying on you.
Yeah.
If anything, everyone's protecting you.
Yeah, I was so...
Because I
was
went,
mad. I was mad about that, actually, that I was the youngest and I only got this amount of years with my mom and my brothers got this amount of years. So there was a lot of anger there, too.
I had the same fight with Aaron because Aaron and I... Right after everything kind of went down, like we started like bickering and like I could tell he just was holding something against me. And I was like, what did I do other than try to like I've done nothing but try to help and whatever. And when it fully came out, it was I had a quality relationship and I had that like really close bond and I was constantly with him.
Yeah.
And my argument went back into, yes, I'm older, but you had more time.
Yeah.
Because I was in Florida the whole time.
Yeah, that's
so it's
very
like,
true.
If you really want to look at it, and my mom even said that in last week's episode too, of like her younger brothers, when her parents passed, had the same mindset, but my mom and her brother that are closer in age had a different mindset. And they're like, well, you guys got like the fun times with them.
Sure.
We were like ripped to shreds. So I think it is hard, but it is very important to say you cannot compare apples to oranges. You cannot compare relationships to another relationship. You cannot compare a parent. Even at the end of the day, like as a parent, I'm not a parent, but I have two dogs. My two dogs are different dogs. Like you have to parent them differently. You have to speak to them differently. You love them differently. Not that there's more or less of anything, but I think that's something that I want a lot of people to know is that you're mourning a different relationship.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the time and to not hate on each other as siblings because that's just waste of your time.
Yeah. Me and my brother had that conversation too. And I told him like, I was mad about the years that he had and that I didn't. And he was very accepting and understanding of my pain and anger. So he was very helpful with just like talking to me about that and getting through that. And it's not easy when you lose somebody. And then all the emotions and feelings that you have are just amplified by 10.
Yeah. And it's new.
Very new.
That's the other thing that very I think, new. I really try to articulate so freaking much and just emphasize these are all new feelings, especially on day one and person number one. Like granted now, knock on wood, but like the day that I lose my mom, I'll feel a little bit more prepared.
Absolutely.
Because you just know, and anything new in the world is just hard, but especially when you're feeling emotions that are brand new, you're like, wait a second, I thought I knew anger, I thought I knew depression, I thought I knew sadness, I thought I knew loss because I've had a breakup before, but like it is just, it's all new.
You've lost grandparents before, you know, things like that. It's like, it's such a new feeling.
Yeah.
And you're not ready for it. And you're more mentally prepared now for your mom, just like I'm more mentally prepared now for my dad when he goes.
But it's still a new loss because it's a different person.
I still know it's going to hurt so much. Like it's not going to make it any less or more because I'm more prepared for it now.
Yeah. I think the only thing is that my brain can at least wrap around what happens next.
You're prepared for that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, if you could go back and you could talk to yourself in that moment of those 4 years, and again, everyone's time frame is going to be different. Yeah, I didn't have, One, again, there's so many factors that go into the makeup of yourself. And again, like the, you're the youngest, you were 23-year-old boy, like whatever the case you want to attribute all like your 4 years to. I didn't have that 4 years. If anything, I went into big sister mode. I went into something different. And I was like, I feel like I almost didn't have a time to be angry.
Yeah.
But if you could go back and talk to yourself in your angry phase, really your denial phase.
Denial.
What would be some advice that you would give?
I would definitely say seek therapy earlier. That would have been a bigger, I know, again, I said earlier, like you're not going to do it until you're ready. So I would have tried to talk myself up into it more to go sooner because that helps a lot. And I guess I would just tell my younger self at that moment that it's okay to not be okay. Cause no one ever told me that. Yeah. No one ever told me it's okay to not be okay, that you can feel these things and deal with it. So I would just tell my younger self, when I was going through that, that it's going to be okay. You're strong enough to get through this. Cause I also never felt like I could, I didn't think I could make it. I really struggled for a couple of years, thinking like with suicidal thoughts. Cause I didn't think I could make it and deal with that grief. So I just tell myself it's, you're going to be okay and go to therapy.
Yeah.
Go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah.
How do you deal with Christmases now? Like what do Christmases look like for you mentally? Now, obviously you show up now.
Mentally, I dread it. I really do. I dread the time of the year. I dread that day because I feel like everyone's looking at me and thinking about me when I'm in the room. About
it's
like,
the sad eyes. It's yeah, the doe eyes. Everyone's like, poor like, kid.
Yeah, they're trying to give me a sympathy and stuff like that. Maybe not as much now, but back then for sure. But Christmas now, it's like, it doesn't exist to me, honestly. It's mm-hmm. just another day. I wish I could go to work on it. Like, I just want to be able to, like, get away from that. I don't, because I want to be there for my family, but I just dread it. It doesn't, mentally, I just don't think about it until, like, the day of. That's.
What does the day of look like for you on the 23rd?
It's been different every year. I think I know what's going to happen, and then it doesn't. Mentally.
Do you take the day off, or do you work?
So, this year, I will be working.
Okay.
The first couple of years, I would go somewhere else just to get away.
Yeah. You took a couple of vacations.
Yeah. Went to a couple of different places on over Christmas. What was your question?
What does the 23rd look like for you?
What does the 23rd look like for me? yeah, I don't know until I wake up that day.
Okay.
Just like her birthday. It's like,
yeah, the birthday was heavy for you.
Yeah. I mean,
but you always tried to celebrate.
We did for the first couple of years. Yeah, yeah. We went into like a park or something and had birthday celebrations. We haven't done it in a while now, but we tried to. So we did. Now it's more like my celebration for her on that day is to have a Captain Coke because that's what she liked to drink.
Really?
Yeah. I'd go to the bar and have a Captain Coke on her birthdays. The 23rd, it's like some. I want to like obviously relive the happy moments on those days. Mm-hmm. So I watch like her favorite movies sometimes, Beaches, Ever After. So, and I listened to like the music she used to listen to cute. All the time, Journey,
yeah, me too.
Stuff like that.
You play so, it in the car and you think it's mm-hmm. going to bring you happiness and then you're fucking sad on 94 and you're like, God damn it.
I know. This year I feel like, again, it has gotten easier as the years have gone on. So I'm not mentally thinking about it every single day leading up to it. Like yeah. I used to. Now it's just like, it's another day, but it does have a heavier feeling when I wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. Kind of like on your dad's 1 year yeah. anniversary, like. I wasn't thinking about it, obviously, that day before. But then when I woke up on that day, I just felt it. I could feel the grief. I felt just heavy. And I feel like that's usually how that goes is I wake up and then I feel it that day. I don't feel it the day before. I wake up that day and, like, my brain, body just, they
yeah.
know.
It's the subconscious mm-hmm. yelling at you for sure.
Yeah.
So something that I have not gotten to yet is because, obviously, this is my first full holiday season experiencing it. Last one was so fake and like it just doesn't feel real.
Putting on a smile.
Where, if you were to even just give me advice of like, because you do show up, and not only that, you show up with a smile and you still are like, you participate, you're happy, you're like, you can't tell on the outside.
Yeah.
So what is going through your brain? Do you just, is there like a flip that you get to turn off or that you switch off, or
in terms
is it
of-
just in there? Like on Christmas.
Positivity and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and just showing up and like making, because if you were to know you from an outsider's perspective, you would never know anything went down around that time for mm-hmm. you. much less a day before. Mm-hmm. So mine at least was at the beginning of November, but I'm like, I still feel heavy and I'm mm-hmm. still like looking around the room, much less I'm not going through the anniversary too. So what's, yeah. What does your mindset look like there?
On the 23rd?
On Christmas, like on Christmas, like it's Christmas morning, you're with the kids and your brothers.
I guess in that moment, my mindset is just to, show up and look happy, be happy. Something mom always said was there's always somebody out there in the world that has it worse off than you. And so she's given me a lot of those little good tidbits. Mm-hmm. So I try to remember that on that day, is that there's somebody out there that didn't get to have their parent for 23 years. There's someone out there that didn't even know their parent at all. It could have died at birth and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I try to just be happy. Happy that I got 23 years. Happy that I get to be at Christmas with my family now. There's so many things in the world to be sad about. So I choose to try to be happy on that day now.
So that's kind of how you restructure it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause some people, they go differently. So I wanted to know like kind of how you flip your switch to be like, and sometimes it might just be a fake switch where you're like, I'm just faking it till I make it. And I go back home and I drink my Captain and Coke until 2 a.m. and I go to sleep.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very good point, is like consistently remembering that we're blessed to be alive. We're blessed to be here. We're blessed to even be in a setting where we can celebrate and be with our family and our children and, well, not your children, but your nieces and nephews mm-hmm. who are basically kids. Well, I love that.
Thank you.
Anything else you got? How's it feel to hold a mic other than karaoke?
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. You showed up for me in so many ways. You're a big reason why I'm alive. Well, I overdosed twice. I was definitely ready to end it. And I could not convince myself. I convinced myself that everybody else would be okay, but I could not convince myself that you, Cameron, and Kylie would be okay.
Hell no.
I couldn't.
Hell no.
I couldn't convince myself that you guys would understand and make it through life without me.
I don't think I could. I can't. You're right. Suicide is like not something for me, because selfishly I'm like, mm-hmm. what did I do wrong? You know, like where was I not enough?
Yeah.
And I know that it's not that. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that have lost somebody to suicide. So if you're listening to this and you lost somebody to suicide, it is not your fault. It was not you. You couldn't have done more. Like, you did everything. But at the same time, I get where the survivor's mental goes of like, why?
Yeah.
What did I not do? Or how could I have been more? So yeah, I really, I've always said like I could see my older brother one day committing. And I'm just like, to me, I can't even, I've had to turn that off of like, I've tried so hard to be there, you know? So I don't know. I would not be able to mentally do that.
Yeah. That was,
I don't know how I would go forward. Thank God mm-hmm. for Raphael, because at that point I would just be like, fucking admit me, like take care of the girls, because I'm going to be in the hospital for a couple days.
Come visit me sometime.
Yeah. I'm going to be, I'll be on the 72-hour hold.
Yeah. I think a good thing is also to know, like, I lost my mom, you were there for me. So it's like, if you were just there by just showing up and calling me and texting mm-hmm. me and inviting me to do things. So like, if someone in your life has lost somebody and you don't know how to like help them, just show up, calls, texts, like you don't have to ask how they're feeling. You just have to be there. Like the presence is very big.
Yeah.
That helped me a lot, was like, you just would call me and be like, we're going to do this. You want to come? I'd be like, okay. And then like, even on my 30th birthday, I didn't want to go celebrate. You're like, it's your last day of being in your 20s. Like, we're going out tonight. Like, I don't care what you want. I'm like,
I don't care what you want.
We had an amazing
time. That's literally
time.
Me.
We had such a fun time, and I'm so happy we went and did that, because I wouldn't have wanted to do that. We went to dinner, me, you, Roth, and we just went to dinner, and then that Saturday or whatever, we went out and partied in Stillwater.
Yeah, we should have gone big.
That's, I don't know, whatever.
He's like, bah, that wasn't even English. He's like, bah, whatever.
I wanted to go to Vegas, but that would have been a bad time.
It's expensive time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this fucker's birthdays get expensive.
She bought me shoes one time on my 25th birthday. In the morning, and by the end of the night, my shoes were destroyed, wrecked.
Who wears brand new shoes on their birthday, by the way?
Well, you bought them for me that day, so.
That's such a male thing. Women would be like, I'm not busting these out of the box till it's a nice evening. Not the night that we're going to go get trashed.
Yeah, we got trashed.
Yeah, that was not a fun time. What did you just say right before that? Oh, talking about showing up for people. I really do genuinely believe that. I say that all the time to my circle. We will all sit around, and like, the one thing is, there's we are always going to show up for each other. I think that's something that I really look for in a friend is not what you bring necessarily for anything other than you, I need you there. And I'm a very like Savannah just said last night, she's like, I don't need anybody necessarily. And I'm like, there's some women out there and there's some men out there that are extremely independent. They could go out this lifetime with not a single friend in their friend group. And I'm like, I'm the first person to yell from the rooftops. Like, I fucking need you. I need you. Like, I need you guys. I am not a lone wolf. That will never be me. I'm a pack girly through and through. But exactly like what you said, just showing up. We don't know what we need in those moments. I don't know. Like, if you came over and did my laundry, I wouldn't even blink twice. I would be like, thanks. Like, I wouldn't even think about it. But if you were to show up and be like, hey, do you need your laundry done? I'd be like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, I'll deal with it. Just do something or do nothing and just show up and be quiet and just be present. I do think you and I are very similar where it was like really Thanksgiving originally why I was like, fuck no, no, no. We buried him on a Tuesday. Thursday, you think I'm going to go sit across the table with everybody that was in that same church and at that same cemetery with me and they're going to be like, how's your day going? Like, no.
No.
And not only that, even if they were to have tried to hide it, there's no hiding it. There's no hiding that it's happened. It's real. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. And I just was not, I'm not the person to go sit across from and just have you stare at me. Like, it just isn't that.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't in the mindset and ready to pretend like nothing happened. So at that moment, my mindset was, I'm just going to remove myself from this. And I think this year I was like, I know for sure I want to run because now it's the first one that I've fully been able to process. And I still don't know where I am mentally. I still don't know if I want to go pretend like nothing's happened. I still don't know if I want to get the sappy sad eyes. Like, I don't know what I want. So we left.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. It's okay to handle things however, but it is your responsibility to make sure that you're not showing up to a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner and making and ruining everybody else's time. Like, it is your responsibility to deal with the grief, not necessarily completely on your own, but making sure that during the holidays, if it is tougher for you, being selfish during this time, doing what matters to you, because again, you don't want to walk into a room and ruin everybody else's time. Like, that's not fair to them either. So making sure that if you are going to show up with positive spirits, a happy smile, you fake it till you fucking make it, especially if children are involved. But if you can't do that, that's totally fine too. And find something that fulfills you on those days. So thank you for doing this with me. I know this
you're welcome.
You're like probably uncomfortable. You're like, what the fuck?
First time.
But yeah, not holding a mic.
First time talking into a mic. That's not for karaoke.
Yeah. Well, you did great. And I thank you for answering, especially being a male's perspective. And again, you've had a different life story, but there's so many people out there that have had
to relate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my story is my story, but there's a lot of similarities with a lot of other people out there, especially when dealing with death.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving, a happy Black Friday. Or
someone eat some pumpkin pie for me because they don't have any in Sweden and I'm mad.
We can make it.
I'm not doing that. I'm not cooking on vacation.
I can make it. I'm the one cooking. He hasn't done shit.
That's true.
Okay, we will see you guys next week. Have a great rest of your day and goodbye.
Goodbye.